you take your Bibles with me as we enter into the preaching of God's Word this morning. We're going to be looking at several different passages as a way of introduction to the point and the message that the Lord has directed me in this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And it goes on, it begins to speak about the armor that the Christian is to have on. But it says in verse number 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching hereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Before we get into the message this morning, I'd like to say this, that this week is a very critical time in the life of our church. We're once again coming up to that of a special meeting. A spring revival is kind of what we have called it. But we're coming up to a time in which we're opening the doors of this church building and meeting together and expecting God to do something in our lives. And brethren, I believe that we are battling against a high power. The Bible says that power is Satan. As a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And may we just draw our attention to this fact, is that Satan would love to get the victory this week and destroy what God has set out to do. And I believe that we as Christians need to be sober-minded at this hour. We need to set our affections and our attention on the things of God and set them off of some things that have been hindering and sidetracking what God wants to do in and through this church. And he will fight and he will battle, that is the devil. And he will do everything he can to get our focus off of what God wants to bring about. I believe that this week that we need to really commit a lot of time in prayer and seeking the Lord. We see that that is one of the tools in which the Lord has given us, in the fact that we need to be Christians and individuals of prayer. And I'd like to just say, in this way as opening, that before the meetings this week, I believe we as a church need to gather for prayer before we ever sit down and listen to the message of God. And so what we'd like to do this week is that at 6 o'clock, I know it may be pressed for some of you getting off of work, but before you come in, we're going to have special times of prayer over in the fellowship hall for the meeting. And we're going to ask specifically that God do something in the life of each and every individual that sits under it. As I said, brother, I don't want to see another revival come where, you know, we may be stirred emotionally. We may have the altars packed, we may have tears flowing, but nothing changes. And I'm not looking for those kind of results. God is looking for what's going to change in the heart, and that takes people humbling themselves and saying, "God, we need that. We need that." And as your pastor, I see that the devil is really wanting to get the advantage. He's really wanting to deaden what God wants to do before we even get there. And we've seen that happen before. Many of you have been in this church for a long period of time. You know, there's times that we've had battles at missions conferences, any times of special meetings where it just seems like there are things going on that we can't understand, but we know that Satan's attacking. And what it tells us as Christians that we need to stand up and give the battle back. We're not to retreat. We're not to sidetrack, but we're supposed to intensify our efforts and say we want the cause of Christ to break through and for God to be victorious. This morning, I ask that you turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, I'm going to go on a thought. I'll be honest with you this morning. There's just going to be a lot of scripture read. And my prayer in preparation for today and seeking exactly what is it that the Lord wants us to see is in the fact of just bringing out Scripture. I believe the Word of God can speak for itself. It has power enough to change and direct. And anything I may say, I would only hope that it would add to the point that God is wanting to get across. I'd like to read James chapter 3. And there is only one statement that I want to focus on and draw our attention on, but it is a chapter that I believe is so important for we as believers here this morning. It says in verse number 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and yet are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a fig or vine figs? So can the fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and induced with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace." I'd like to draw our attention to verse number 10. And it simply says this, "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing." Then he says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be so." I believe that there are things that ought to be different in a Christian's life upon salvation. James chapter 3 brings out the fact of that of the tongue or the mouth. Not only does he say that it is a deadly poison, it is a fire, it is something that we cannot control without the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also addresses the issue of how we live our life and how we speak. He says here that there are mouths that will bless God on one day and curse men that are made after the similitude of God. There is this hypocrisy in the mouths of Christians. They say one thing, they do another. They bless one thing, but they curse another. And he says, these things ought not to be so. And Christian, let me say this morning. There are things that a believer, a born-again child of God, ought not to participate in. And number one, I believe, is this: in the way that we talk and the conversation that comes out of our mouth. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to allow His Word to really reveal some things this morning. Our dear Father, we bow before You. And Lord, I need You this morning in the message that You've laid on my heart. And Father, You know that I'd rather preach something else. I'd rather go another direction, but Your Holy Spirit has led me here and has brought this to memory every time I sought the direction that You would lead. And Father, I pray that I'd be able to preach the truth in love, that Your Word would speak to the hearts of each individual, And Father, we would be willing to submit and yield ourselves to the Word of God and not make excuses, not try to justify actions, but Lord, that we would each get in line with Your Word. Be obedient to Your Word. And Father, practice it and use it and allow You to give us the victory over areas that we struggle in. And so, Father, we commit this time to You now. And Father, we ask for Your work and Your presence to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians, if you'll go there, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians speaks a lot about what a Christian ought to be, of who he used to be and now what he ought to be. I like chapter 2 where it says, You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It goes in, it speaks about the grace of God in our life, of how God can change us from one person to another person, that how the power of God can work in our life. But I see in Ephesians chapter 4 one truth here that I believe that we ought to be reminded of daily. It says here in verse number 21, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. But let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And he goes into chapter 5 and says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now I have never found a passage more instructive than this in the fact of what we used to be and what we ought to be. I mean, God spills it out so clearly. He says, put off and put on. And He goes through a list of things. He says, put away lying. And here's the opposite. He says, now speak truth. He says, don't be angry. Don't be angry without a just cause. He says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Before you used to be in subjection to him, he says, now don't give any place to him, give only place to God. He says, if you used to steal, don't steal, but work. If you used to have corrupt communication, now turn your communication to speak that which is edifying and useful for the cause of Christ. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Brother, I think a lot of times in our life we're doing just that. We're grieving the Spirit of God that lives within each and every one of us. How do we do that? Well, we do it exactly by going contrary to what the Word of God has said. There's lying. There's anger. There's stealing. There's corrupt communication. There's bitterness that's being hung on to. There is clamor. There's wrath. There's evil speaking. God says, I want that all put away. But yet many Christians are bringing that back into their life and saying, I'm not going to put that away. You know, it's interesting. I like the statement in verse 32. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We spoke about this last week in the Sunday morning service, in that of remember where the Lord found you. I'm finding more and more that we go back to what we used to be because we don't remember that God, for Christ's sake, forgave us and did something great. And we're not trying to conform ourselves to the image of Christ, but we're conforming it to what we're satisfied with. Brother, I'll tell you, there is no excuse for sin. There is no excuse for disobedience to the Word of God. There's nothing there. We cannot excuse and contradict what God has said is wrong. And I think that is so important when we come into looking at our lives and seeing exactly what the Holy Spirit of God wants us to do. I'm reminded of the Boxer Rebellion in China. It took place in 1899. It was very interesting. There were four newspaper reporters that were from Denver, Colorado. And they were over there in China reporting for their respective newspapers. And they wanted to get the frontline story. And they wanted to have the best story there was in the newspapers at that time. And so they came in on a train, and they were sitting there at the train depot, expecting some celebrity to come, expecting for some important person to pass by that they may interview and get their lead story and get the recognition that they desired. But no one came about, and so they decided, you know, we need to have a story to report. So they decided to make up a story and decided to go to a local bar and sit down, and for hours they discussed what would be a story that would shake the headlines. And so they came up with this story, and it's a very interesting one in the sense that they sat down and made up a story that some engineers had gone to China and they were going to demolish the Great Wall of China. That was the story they came about. They thought, well, you know, no one would be in the country there to verify it. No one would be able to say that was wrong or right, and it would just cause a stir in the media for a while until the truth really came out. Well, this story ended up backfiring on these reporters. We find that by the time the story got to China, all the Chinese heard was this, that the Americans were coming to destroy the Great Wall. And so in retaliation, they began to kill all the missionaries, kill all the foreigners that were associated with America. And as a result, hundreds were killed. Over 12,000 troops were sent to China to stop the slaughter and the murder of innocent people. And a war was started, all because of a lie. All because of a lie. This morning I want to focus on one subject, and that is this. What does God have to say about liars? What does God have to say about liars? In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 5, we're going to be going through a lot of scripture this morning. I want the Word of God to bring it about. You know, lying I found today has been defined in so many different states. To tell a lie is not as simple as right and wrong anymore. There's always a twist to it. Well, were you lying for a good cause? Were you lying to protect somebody? Were you telling the half-truth? Were you just not giving the whole truth? Why is it that you were being deceitful? In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 5, the Word of God says, "A faithful witness will not lie. But a false witness will utter lies." Brethren, you're either here today as a faithful witness or as a false witness. God makes it cut and dry. He says, a faithful witness will not lie. No matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the outcome will be, a faithful witness will say, I will be obedient to God first and foremost. A false witness will utter lies when convenient for them. You know, I thought about this. Why is it that Christians lie? Why is it that we lie in our daily lives and to people that we come across? Well, first of all, we find that we are born liars. We are born liars. It is part of our nature. In Psalm 58 and verse number 3, the Word of God says this, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Notice David says in verse number 4, their poison is like the poison of a serpent, and are like the deaf adder that stoppeth their ear. See, once again, he likens it to poison. This is our nature. We are born this way. It is part of the fleshly desire to tell falsehoods, to tell lies. We are born that way. We go into Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9. We find that it is part of the old man. It is part of the old nature that if we do not have yielded and submitted to the will of God, it is only the natural result. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." And the creator there is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it is part of the old nature. God never expects for a Christian to be involved in lying. Not at all. Not even twisting the truth. He says, yes, it's part of your old nature, but did I not create a new nature? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If that's the case, then why is it that among Christians it's so accepted? Why is it that parents can get away and say, well, you know, I can lie to my kids? It's for their protection. Why is it that, well, you know, depending on the circumstances, we can lie to our boss, our employer, about things that are really going on? Brethren, I'll tell you this from the Word of God, that is the old nature speaking. That's the old man. God has never said that. He says, yes, to tell the truth will be hurtful sometimes. To tell the truth will get you in trouble sometimes. But I want my children to be honest and not resort to the old man. I'll find also that in Psalm 52, we find that we have a tongue that loves to lie. It loves to lie. There are things that we love to do, and that's what we pursue. Well, our tongue, if it was to have its way, it would always lie. It says in Psalm 52, in verse number 1, it says, "Why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually." Look at verse 2. "Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." And then that word, Selah, means stop and think about that. That's what our tongue desires to do. You know, it's interesting, and a person that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit will catch themselves in lies. You ever done that when somebody asks you a question, and it's almost without even thinking, your tongue responds with a lie? I've been in those situations. You have to catch yourself and say, well, wait a minute. Nah, that's not true. I'm sorry. Why did I say that? That's because the tongue desires to lie first and foremost. We have to be under the submission and the guidance of the Holy Spirit at every moment. Because if we let this tongue have control, it will bring about much destruction in our life. We find also, according to Matthew chapter 15, the reason we lie is because we have a wicked heart. We have a wicked heart. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 19, the Lord Jesus Christ there is speaking to the Pharisees. He says in verse number 19, actually verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." Notice it says there, false witness. It comes from our heart. The Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Brethren, we need to understand the reason we resort to these things. Part of fixing the problem is understanding why we go to that problem, why we do those things. This is the reason why. Because we're born that way. It's part of the flesh. It's because our tongue is bent towards lying. It's because of our heart that will devise things, and the tongue wants to proclaim what the heart is thinking and dwelling on. That's the reason why. But what is it? What are the causes of lying? Now, I find that any time a person is engaged in deceit or in false stories or just, as we say, flat out lying, there's always a root problem for that. You know, we can't just put it off on there. Well, you know, it's just kind of cute that they'll tell a lie. Or it's just kind of funny. They elaborate on things. You know, I don't think we should elaborate either. You know, if the fish was this big when you caught it, it's not this big. That's a lie. As a Christian, we ought to be sensitive to that. You know, what happens is we're trying to build up ourselves. We're trying to do the real problem. And you know, a lying comes about, I found, in four different reasons on why we tell lies. Number one, we'll lie because we're bitter. We'll lie because we're bitter. In James chapter 3, we read that earlier. If you notice there in verse number 13, a bitter heart will lie. It says there in verse number 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But look in verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not. Once again, if lies come from the heart, we see that bitter envying and strife is where it comes from. Those that are bitter with people will lie. Maybe you've been that way in your life. You're bitter at somebody and yet you'll form lies about them. You know, bitterness is an interesting thing. It's normally a hurt within you. So often the person that hurts you doesn't even know that they offended you or wronged you. But you know, that bitter heart of ours will begin to produce lies. And notice it says there that there is envies and strife. A bitter person will use their tongue to go around others and spread rumors and gossip and tear people down with their tongue. It's not done through writing a little note and passing it around. It's done through lies that come through the tongue. See, brethren, if there's a problem with lying in your life, you need to consider the source. Bitterness is that way. You know, it's interesting, those that have hurt you, you know, many times the bitterness wells up and we begin to, once again, throw more on them. Well, yes, so-and-so, they did me wrong. And in that wrong situation, we get to build on it. You know what? And a bitter heart will begin to build on other people's hurts and drag that in as your own and make things up. You know, it comes from the heart. Brethren, we ought to be people of truth. We ought to do things God's way. If somebody has offended us, somebody has wronged us, we need to go to that individual and make right. We ought not to allow it to cause that root of bitterness in our heart, because it will produce lying. It will every time. The other area is that of fear. People will lie out of fear. In Genesis chapter 18, we have here where the angels come to Abraham and Sarah. And their wonderful message there of, well, the Lord has promised you a child. You will have a child. And yet it's interesting here of why Sarah lies. In Genesis chapter 18, if you'll look there, we find the angels present the message to Abraham. They say, the Lord's going to do a great miracle. We know you're old. We know it's past the time of when people normally have kids, but God's going to do something great. And as he gets done, he says in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Here he comes and confronts her and says, Sarah, what do you think about this? You think this is good? Oh, yeah. Lord can do anything. Then why were you laughing a few moments ago? Why were you saying it can't be possible with God? Why were you going around saying, doesn't God know how old I am? She said that in verse number 12, I am waxed old, and shall I have pleasure with my Lord being old also? God can't do this. And out of fear, lying was a response. You know, many people will lie out of fear. Fear of what God's going to do. Fear of what, you know, a lot of times a fear of just seeing the truth of the situation. People want to be so blinded to things in their life, so they'll lie about it. They don't want that. You know, well, as I said, I could go on illustration after illustration, but you know, fear will produce lying in life. There's another area in Psalm 59. Psalm 59, I find that pride will cause lying. Pride will cause lying. Pride always wants to build somebody up greater than they are. It says in Psalm 59 and verse number 12. Psalm 59 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak." A proud individual will lie about things. See, a proud individual will not admit that they're wrong sometimes. And when caught, they'll make excuses. They'll begin to shift the blame and give reasons for why it is. You know, brethren, we ought to own up to what we've done wrong. You may be somebody that seems to have things together and rarely does it seem that you fail or do wrong, but you know, don't let that pride overtake you. Pride is a deadly thing, and it will always produce lying in life because we're trying to protect our image. We're trying to protect our reputation. Well, if people really knew that I did this or I was involved in this, then it would lessen me as a person in their eyes, or it would lose what I want them to see. You know, brethren, we ought to be humble all the time. Amen. We ought to keep that spirit about us. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 17, the Lord also brings out about lying there. He says a proud look, and he says right after that, and a lying tongue. A proud look. Those that are involved in the sin of pride will always lie. We also see another cause is rebellion. Those that are rebelling will lie. In Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and verse number 12. We find here speaking of the nation of Israel and what the Lord had to say about them. Isaiah 59 and verse number 12, the Word of God says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against thee. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God." You know, any time we rebel against the Word of God, we're going to have to lie, aren't we? We're going to have to, number one, lie to ourselves, convince ourselves we're okay. Many Christians are doing that today. Well, I'm okay. I'm right with God. I'm living as God has commanded me to live. But you know what you're doing is you're lying to yourself and you're lying to everybody else. That's coming from rebellion. Kids will do that. If they're rebelling against parents or authority, they'll lie to be able to continue in their way. Brethren, see, these are the root problems. We don't have time to go into these in great detail, but lying lips are produced from bitterness, fear, pride, or rebellion. We need to understand that. Now, what does God think about lying? Well, He doesn't prefer it. He's not too keen on it. He'd rather that we speak truth. No. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 17. Verse number 16 says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Two times in the list of seven things God hates, he speaks about lying. God hates it, Christian, when we lie. God is sickened by our deceit and by our twisting of truth. It makes God sick. That word abomination is such an interesting word. It means to make throw up. Let me ask you this. How many times did we sicken God this week? In just the way we communicated, the way we talked, the things we hid. Brethren, this is serious. If we want to see God's blessing upon this church, you want to see God's blessing upon your life, you want to see God work and move and do something with you, then our lips need to be honest. We can't give any excuse for it. We can't be sidetracked and say, well, you know, we can lie about this. It's for the good of everybody. Truth is what is right. You know what? If truth offends, then let it offend. God says my word will divide. Would you like me to get up here every Sunday and every time I stand before you and lie to make you feel better? Well, I should have heard some amens there. No, we don't want that. We want the truth of God's word. You may not like it, but that's what needs to be proclaimed. And as a preacher and as a pastor, I cannot go against what God has said and try to appease to everybody. It sickens God when men do that. You know, really, lying produces so much that resembles so little of God. We'll forgo the scriptures, but I'll give them to you for later reference. You know, lying produces in a Christian a resemblance of Satan. John chapter 8 and verse 44 says, Satan is the father of lies. Is that what we're walking around promoting when we're supposed to be Christ-like? It also causes malice and hatred. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 18, the word of God said this, He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. That's what will be produced. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 3, the Bible tells us that it will produce a habit of lying. You know, we talk about that people will just lie out of habit. The first thing they'll do is lie. You know, we build those habits, don't we? You know, what we put our efforts into is what we'll become. You know, it's sad to say, there are people I know that when talking with them, I really can't believe anything they say. Because they have had a habit in lying. That's what comes out. It's hard to discern between the truth and between what is right and wrong. I'm trying to remember that story. My father told me this, the boy that cried wolf. So many times. He cried out, wolf, wolf, to get attention. He lied, and he got into the habit, and one day the wolf did come, and he got devoured. You know, that's where it leads. Sin will lead that way to a habit. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 4, the Word of God says that it will produce a delight in lies. It says in verse number 4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You know, it's interesting, those that are involved in lying and deceit love to be around those involved in lying and deceit. They'll believe them over the truth. It's interesting how people believe lies more than truth that explained and spread out for them that they can see it. They'll believe a lie because they delight in lies. It will also produce emptiness. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 6, the Bible says the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. You know, lying will leave you empty. I'll tell you this, once people start to figure out that you're a liar, you've lost some friends. You've lost some trust. You know, your kids, they get upset by this, they get caught in a lie. What do they want back? They say, well, Mom and Dad, why won't you trust me again? It's because you lied. It's because, and it's that emptiness there. I know that when I was caught in there, I did something wrong. The worst thing was the fact that they didn't trust me anymore. I felt so empty. I felt so lonely. Well, who's ever going to believe me? That's where it leads. But you know, also, it will lead to a hatred of others. In Proverbs 26, verse 28, it says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And the flattering mouth worketh ruin. You know, it's interesting. Lying will produce a hatred, especially for those that are truthful. There will be two kinds of ways in which a tongue will respond. There'll be the slandering tongue. That's just open hatred. They don't care who hears it. They don't care what the results are from it. They'll just say whatever. But then, you know, as many Christians do, they'll be those that have a flattering tongue. That's where we call it talking behind people's backs. We'll come and we'll shake hands and, well, how you doing this week? It's so good to see you. You know, hey, it's just, you know, God's blessing and so glad to see God's doing things in your life. And then you turn around and you slander them behind your back. What are you doing to the individual when you come up and you're proclaiming to be their friend when you're not? You're lying. I mean, these are such simple truths, aren't they? But yet, how often do we get it caught up in these things? See, that is what lying will produce. But you know, also we must be reminded that there are consequences for lying. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:9 that liars will be punished. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremongers and adulterers and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." You know, God puts it on the same level as some of the most perverted sins that we would say, "Oh, that's disgusting." But God says, so is lying. You know, liars will be found out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure you'll be caught. Liars will earn a reputation. Remember what Titus wrote in Titus 1:12? He says the Cretans are always liars. They had a reputation of being deceitful people. That's a consequence, isn't it? You'd hate to go around life people looking at it that way. You know, and also I find a consequence is this, is liars will not see their own sin. Notice what it said in James chapter 3. It's very interesting how he says this, and I find it to be so true. He said in verse number 14, "But if they have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not." And notice it says, "And lie not against the truth." You know, they will not see their own sin. It can get to a point where there's no wrong with you. You can justify it with a lie. I hear it all the time. "Well, you know, my problems are because my parents didn't raise me right. It's not my fault." They're just lying to themselves. "Well, you know, I'm doing wrong, but you know, it's not as bad as so-and-so." Or, you know what, people are getting to this today. It's not wrong. "Oh, I can have a relationship outside the bounds of marriage, but that's not wrong. I can steal from my boss or do things like this, and it's not wrong." They're lying against the truth of God's Word. They're just disregarding it and saying, "We've set up what is truth." Oh, brethren, that's a dangerous thing when we get to that point. What a consequence, you know, if we continue that. There are people out there this morning that are lying to themselves saying they're saved, and yet they're really not. And you know that if they enter eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be that consequence. You know, there are many characters in the Bible that are known for their lying. Satan in Genesis chapter 3 lied to Adam and Eve. And the result was man's destruction and death. There was Sarah in Genesis chapter 18 who lied out of fear. And the reason was because she had a lack of faith. There was Abraham in Genesis chapter 20 when he lied before the king and said, "This is my sister." And the reason was the fear of death and losing his wife. There's Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39 who lied about Joseph and said he did things that he never did, and she did that out of revenge and bitterness. There is Peter in Matthew chapter 26 who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and lied when he was asked, "Weren't you with him?" And he said, "No, I was never there." The reason he lied is because of fear of death. There's Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 who said that they would sell their land and give all the money to the church to be a blessing. And they lied because of their pride. They just wanted to be lifted up in the church and be seen as somebody that did a great work. And then there was Achan in Joshua chapter 7 who lied and hid the gold and the garments, and he did it because of greed. Every one of them had a different reason, but each one had the punishment come upon them. How does a Christian get victory over lying? Brethren, I think it's so clear through the Word of God that we ought not to participate in it in any form. It's a sin. It's a deadly sin. It's a wicked sin. It's an abominable sin. But there are five things I want to give you real quick. How do you get victory over it? You may say, "Well, I just can't help myself." Well, you know, there is one who can help you. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's full of truth and grace. He'll put the truth in your mouth and He'll give you the grace to speak it. Number one, in Proverbs 13, verse 5, you need to hate it. You need to hate lying lips. See, that really comes down to it. We need to hate the sin that we want to get victory over. If you still use it kind of in your back pocket there to use it when it's to your advantage, then you don't hate it. You need to hate it with all forms. You know, how many of you hate it when you're lied to? Almost everyone here says, it gets me angry when somebody lies to me. I hate it. I can't stand it when people lie to me. And we go through all those things. Well, you know what? When they lie to me, they don't respect me, and they think I'm foolish, they think I'm stupid. I mean, we go through all those things, don't we? Why are they lying to me? But you know, that brings a hatred, but we also need to take a look in the mirror and say, you know, that's how I make other people feel when I'm not honest with them. You know, the second thing is we need to put it away. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, put away all lying. Put away all lying. Just put it out of our life. It's not even an option for a Christian. In Psalm 119 and verse 29, we see also that we need to remove the temptation. Remove the temptation. Brethren, we hold some responsibility to not put ourselves into situations. You know what? You know, we hear this thing, well, I had to lie to get out of trouble. Then don't get in trouble in the first place. You know, just don't do what's wrong, and then you won't be in the temptation of, well, do I lie to get out of it? Just do what's right. In Psalm 119, verse number 29, the Word of God says, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Replace it. Move away the way of lying. I don't even want to be around that. You know what? You may have to lose some friends. You may have to part company with people that are involved in deceitful talk. And say, I don't even want to be around. I want to be around people that are honest. At least people that are trying to be honest. And striving to have their conversation godly and right. We also see in Psalm 120, verse 2, that we need to seek God's deliverance. Remember, it is something that we were born with. It's part of the old nature. We have a tongue within our mouth that just wants to lie. We need a power greater than ours. It says in Psalm 120 and verse 2, actually verse 1, I like this. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from the lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. It ought to be a distress for a Christian. You know, it ought to bother you. When you lie, you need to go back and get right. The Holy Spirit ought to be grieved. If not, there's something wrong. Maybe that the Holy Spirit just doesn't even live there. You know, it ought to eat you up when you know that you've lied. And as a Christian, we ought to go back and make that right. And then the last thing is this. Speak truth. Speak truth. In Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Just make a decision to always speak truth. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 7. It says, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Really, what we've done is we come to the place where we have the mindset of God. We think as Jesus Christ thinks. Notice what it said in Ephesians, our scripture that we read at the beginning of this message. It says here, but if ye have not so learned Christ, but if so that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off. See, brethren, if we learn the Lord Jesus Christ, we conduct ourselves according to His way and His words, then lying will not be an option. Lying will not be an option. You know, one of the most destructive things in the church is that when members begin to lie. It affects everything. You know, you may be sitting here today saying, well, I don't have a problem. When you know deep down inside, you do. You're just lying to the Holy Spirit. And brother, I think the Scriptures are so clear. I hope that it was brought across in a way that you could see that. What God thinks. But God wants to give you the victory today. May we be a church with truth on our lips. May we speak the truth, no matter what the cost is. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.